And welcome back to Livingston Parish News Weekly Show, a podcast brought to you by the Livingston Parish News. My name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news, and I want to apologize to our viewers out there. We had a bit of an air conditioning issue. So our guest today, I'm going to let him introduce himself, but he was our last guest before we went on a bit of a hiatus. But now we're back, and we're glad to welcome him back. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good morning. It's Buddy Mincy, state rep for Dunn Springs and Walker Area, District 71. I'm also running for Senate District 13.
Yes, sir. And we are into election season. We are 3 weeks from qualifying.
Yep.
And it's going to be the packed ballot this fall. So that's going to be interesting. But we're here to talk about the job you already have. We're going to be doing a series of these this morning. First one coming out is going to be a legislative wrap-up. We discussed some of your bills back in late May. But now, of course, obviously, the regular session has wrapped. There will be a veto session, as discussed. I believe it starts tomorrow.
It does.
Tuesday. So glad that you took some time today. We'll talk about what came through during the regular session before this extraordinary session. So honestly, kind of the way you and I talked about it, we'll go through these in, I guess, numerical order. Actually, I think you have these divided by kind of what they deal with. So we'll go through that. But first, let's start with House Bill 231, which is veteran cemeteries. And as you put down here, you got a unanimous vote, which is not normal, folks. That's not something that happens all the time. So tell us a little bit about what the intent was here. And, of course, it has passed.
Yeah, this was a good bill. We had a good session, first of all, McHugh, and we look forward to the veto session tomorrow. We'll continue to take care of state business and try to do everything we can to represent Livingston the best we can. But the past session, 2023 regular session, we had a really good session. And this bill was brought to me by the Department of Veterans Affairs. And basically right now, you know, you have a criteria to be buried in our cemeteries, our state cemeteries. And we expanded those parameters to include our National Guard, anyone in our ROTC capacity. So we've done some things to expand the burial potentials for our veterans.
Gotcha. So the next one, you know, and it's always one thing I do want to say before we move on. It's always interesting. Some of the issues that you never even knew existed will crop up as these interested parties will approach you. So good bill there. Getting into the next one, HB 406. This is about the I-12 corridor. And this was, I know over the past few years, you've had a back and forth with DOTD about trying to address this issue. Of course, this is Louisiana. There was always that concern about, well, if we do something about it, it's admitting fault, liability, et cetera, et cetera. So tell us a little bit about sort of where this is pushing DOTD to go. Another unanimous vote. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. You know, when we first got to the Capitol, I started working on doing something to interstate barrier. And in 2021 regular session, you know, tried to pass a bill to make a DOTD fix it. And they asked me, they didn't have a fix, they didn't have a solution. They asked me to give them an opportunity to study it. We gave them 2 years to come up with a recommendation. And the recommendations they came back were really just, we challenged them with giving them something that was practical and cost prohibitive, and that was not cost prohibitive. And they didn't give us any of that. So we basically, the study for 2 years just wasted our time. So I'm back to square one, and we passed a bill this year to make them give us an engineering solution. Once we get that solution, you know, I don't know what it is. There's three or four possibilities. But once they give us that solution, we'll try to go after capital outlay and try to get it fixed.
Okay. So, you know, and for those of you who may not know or may not remember, you may have blocked it out of your head. What we're discussing is what was dubbed the barrier wall or the Great Dam.
That's right.
During the 2016 flood, that extends much of Livingston Parish, where there are six lanes through from East Baton Rouge Parish through Livingston Parish, past Walker.
It goes up to Satsuma.
Yeah.
And if you recall, in 2016, the northern side water was up to the top of the barrier, and on the southern side you could drive it. So you know, that was a dam. In 2016, and you know, we had so much rain drop during that time period, we were going to flood anyway. But there's without question that barrier compounded the flooding on the north side of the interstate, particularly in Dunn Springs and Walker. And I've been working for 4 years trying to get it fixed, and we're not going to stop working until we get it fixed.
Sure. So, unfortunately, DOTD maybe trying to play a game. Maybe they just weren't real sure, but taking it back to square one with them. Moving on, you know, you are a former school board member. Got complicated there. You are a former school board member. So I know that the current teacher shortage and issue rings real true to you and very close to home. So HB 472 is about teacher reciprocity. Not exactly going to fix the teacher shortage, but may help. And this is tied to military, isn't it? Okay. So just tell us a little bit about that. It's about being able to cross state lines and things of that nature.
Correct. The Department of Defense actually went to the Board of Regents. We actually have a task force, a teacher task force, looking at recovery, retention, and recruitment of our teachers. They brought this to the task force and asked us to look at it. We initially started out trying to do, pass another bill, and we ended up going to this one. And basically what it does, it extends the reciprocity for, you know, our family members of our military. When they move out of state to come in our state, we want to ease the roadblocks and the license, the certification issues. So this just increases that reciprocity and helps get those military families to work.
Okay. And could perhaps help with the teacher issue.
It could,
if they get transferred here.
Absolutely.
So we've got a couple of resolutions here that we're going to talk about. First is a House concurrent resolution, and typically that means that both the House and the Senate are together on this.
Correct.
This one is about the Capitol Purple Heart Trail. So tell us a little bit about that.
You know, in Dental Springs, we worked on becoming the sixth Purple Heart city in the state. Walker became the seventh. And we're actually another resolution I've got we're going to get to regarding dental again. But we're going to do a Purple Heart Trail at the Capitol. The Department of Veterans Affairs come to me again and asked me to run this resolution. And we want to do everything we can to recognize and our veterans and show the respect that we should. And this just gives us that opportunity at the Capitol.
Gotcha. So next, another concurrent resolution, again, both houses. And we just talked about the teacher task force. Mm-hmm. This is extending their, I don't want to say their power, it's extending their scope. Mm-hmm. And so tell us what your intent was with this.
You know, when we started, you know, earlier we talked about the importance of education. I think it's the most important thing in our state. It's specifically important in Livingston Parish. It's the economic engine of our parish. Our teacher workforce is in a crisis. It has been. It's been in a crisis because public education, in my opinion, has been attacked for the last 12 years. And so we developed a task force several years back to look at the recovery, retention, and recruitment of our teachers. And we've got to do something to reverse that trend. You know, a lot of it's about pay, but it's not all about pay. Teachers, I don't know the first teacher that ever signed up to be a teacher knowing they were going to make a lot of money. But we've done so much at the state with the policymakers and BSEE and LDOE and legislators that we've put so much burden on our teachers that we've taken the love out of it. And we got to reverse that trend. So this task force was set up to study ways to do that. And, you know, it was a two-year task force. Dr. Kim Hunter-Reed, Commissioner of Higher Ed, is actually chairing it. And we got a phenomenal group of stakeholders that we're really making some progress on identifying areas that we can improve for our teachers and maybe reverse that trend. And this just extends that task force for another 2 years. We got more work to do.
Okay. So, as you know, we all know and have seen the billboards around with mm-hmm. some school districts, I mean, offering signing bonuses like this is NFL free agency. But it just kind of lends itself or shows that people are looking for qualified teachers.
That's correct.
Not people, systems are desperate for qualified teachers. Moving on, House, we're out of the concurrent resolutions. This is a House resolution. This deals with the Maurepaw Swamp Wildlife Management Area, specifically with Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. I remember you and I discussed this at the last one we mm-hmm. did. I know this is important to you as you're an outdoorsman, but this is trying to, I believe, reintroduce some more hunting and fishing opportunities in that area. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, look, I'm an avid outdoorsman. I love to hunt. Probably my greatest passion is deer hunting with dogs. And in 2001, the Maurepaw area, the Maurepaw Swamp, became a wildlife management area. The state had a donation of property, and I think they acquired some purchases. And they basically cut this this technique, this form of hunting out since 2001. And there's so much, there's such a rich history and culture that it's a shame that we've lost that. So what we've asked the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is to give us an opportunity to reintroduce that dog hunting into the Maurepaw Swamp management area. It's 122,000 acres. I think we're asking for 8,600 acres. And you know, we're going to give another shot and try to reintroduce that. And it's all about giving hunters the opportunity. And I spoke to a man yesterday that was, you know, probably 75 years old, and he spent his life hunting down there. And, you know, and to hear him talking about that take being taken away from him, it just breaks your heart, you know. And so I think it's a great opportunity for us to do something for a lot of our you know, residents in Livingston Parish dog hunt, and they dog hunted in that swamp. And it's going to give us an opportunity to give that, reinstate that back to them.
So we'll be, well, obviously this is passed. It's unanimous. But you're going to have to wait for LDWF, which is Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, to develop those guidelines, correct?
Correct. You know, we've asked them, you know, we've gave them some suggestions and some parameters on what we think would work. But we've asked them, you know, the biologists and so forth, to propose a plan for us, a season, you know, any other requirements. And once we get that, then, you know, then it would be taken to the commissioners for the Wildlife and Fisheries and hopefully receive their approval. If not, then we have legislative options. And I'm just trying to set the case for that.
Okay. So we'll see what LDWF comes back with in terms of suggestions, rules, that kind of thing. The next one is House Resolution. This was unanimous, but if you live in the Watson area, and specifically if you live north around the high school or travel through that area, either when school is letting in or school is letting out, you know that traffic can get pretty rough. So this was another sort of, I don't want to call it a mandate, but requesting from DOTD suggestions on how to alleviate that traffic, correct?
That's correct. So, you know, Live Oak High School is, you know, it's one of the gems of our parish. They do a phenomenal job up there. Consequently, the area has grown, and there's a tremendous traffic congestion that occurs because of the high school. Senator Erdy got some turning lanes, you know, whenever they first opened the school, but we still have, you know, so much traffic. There's just a lot of areas that could be worked on. So, you know, I'm very, you know, I've been very proactive in infrastructure improvements in my district, and hopefully I'm able to represent the Watson area as their senator, and I'm basically just, you know, establishing the foundation to look at capital outlay to be able to do something with that. And I've asked them basically to, they've agreed to work with us on it, and you know, I think it's a four lane, you know, continue the four lane from old 16 to 1019 up, and but we've told them to give us a suggestion, so we'll see what they come up with. And then once they give us those suggestions, then we'll try to reach out and get some funding.
Sure. And just real quick, not really an aside, but sort of a deeper question about this. When you're looking to get capital outlay for specific projects, is it better, and I'm sure it is, but I want to ask, is it better to start with something like this where you've got a study, you've got a proposal, and then it's a lot easier to just put that onto the budget, correct?
You know, all of our capital outlay requests are, they're competitive. You know, you've got to go in and you've got to make requests, and you've got to know what you're asking for, and you've got to know how much it's going to cost. So, you know, look, I'm not a traffic engineer. I feel like I know what the solution is. But, you know, it establishes that foundation and establishes that buy-in, and then you just take that and you build on that. And but somebody's got to study it initially and figure out what the issue is and how to fix it. And this is just the start of finding out what that is.
Sure. So obviously when you're in a competitive situation, having as much information and data on your side is going to put you at a competitive advantage.
Yeah, and I just may add this. You know, it's also, you know, we are limited on resources that we have in the parish. And, you know, you've got to be able to get the most bang for the buck and try to set priorities and try to fix where the solutions are. But in a Live Oak area, I think this is very needed, and I think it'll be very beneficial.
So moving on, this was an interesting one, a bit of controversy around it. But after reading what you brought, I might ask if you amended it. But this is about Webb EOC request, which this is a disaster situation type deal. Webb EOC is where it's supposed to be a, and correct me if I'm wrong at any point here, but it's supposed to be a centrally located database where you go in and request things like manpower, equipment, materials during a disaster situation. So tell us what your intent was with this resolution.
You know, initially I set out and tried to pass a bill that would allow our sheriff to have dual authority to make web EOC requests. And, you know, it received some objection. You know, it's campaign season, it's campaign year. You know, your sheriff's association didn't want to pick a fight with the parish council, the parish president association, and vice versa. So, you know, there was a little bit of opposition. You know, I was focused on what was best for Livingston Parish. You know, my bill would have limited it just to Livingston Parish and gave us a start. Out of all the objections that I heard, there was only one objection that had any, you know, validity to it. And that was the fact that they was worried about duplication of efforts. They didn't want one person to enter something into the web EOC, one entity and another doing again and have a duplication. So, you know, we decided to put that bill on a shelf this year and address that issue. So we've asked GoSEP to go through and evaluate it. And to me, it's a technology issue. We ought to be able to rectify this. And we've asked them to give us the solution so we don't have dual authority. And then hopefully we'll eliminate all the excuses and we bring the bill back later on.
Gotcha. So again, you know, bringing it forward, hearing some objections, addressing them, and trying again.
You know, it is a legislative process, McHugh. And, you know, you bring bills and, you know, you think you have ideas. And I pride myself in being somebody who's very open and listen to anyone who may be objecting to or opposed to what I'm doing and try to find common ground. And this is one of those situations where we had some opposition. And so we say, well, all right, what can we do to eliminate some of that opposition and come back again with it? So that's just part of the legislative process.
Gotcha. So, excuse me. Moving on, we're going to – this was an interesting one. This is House Resolution 215, another unanimous one. Most of yours passed with very little fanfare.
I think I had five House members object to all of my bills and resolutions that I – collectively, five or six.
Yeah, yeah, that looks to be about right. It was five. So there you go. So on this one, another unanimous pass. This is about high school internship incentives. But again, this is a resolution, so it's more so asking for some guidance or looking into some process. Mm-hmm. So tell us what you wanted with this one.
You know, I've brought a lot of people to Walker High School and showed them the tremendous job that our parish is doing in career technical education. Not just in Walker High School, but in all of our high schools, we're doing a great job of preparing our kids to go to our careers or to go to college. And you know, one of the things that we've, when I bring a group, you know, I brought Stephen Wagons back, the CEO of LIBE. I brought Eddie Risponi. I brought the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. I brought the Chamber, Baton Rouge Chamber. And when we toured those schools, and they want to know, how can we replicate this across the state? So one of the things I think is, you know, we have an advantage in our parish that we have enough businesses and industries that are willing to make an investment, but not everybody has that. And so I originally had a bill to I was working with the Baton Rouge Area Chamber. We were going to propose a bill to provide incentives for a business giving an internship to a high school student, you know, the high wage, high demand industries. And, you know, through that, look, you know, this, you know, let me just tell you this. There's $7.5 billion worth of credits and tax refunds that we do, and we had $1 billion offered this year in Ways and Means Committee. So there was a tremendous amount of objections to any more tax credits. But my colleagues were really, really interested in doing this, and so instead of doing something this year, we decided to go back and develop some more guardrails, and got some, you know, the Department of Education looking at this and seeing how we can make it as beneficial as we can. And and so they're going to develop some guidelines, give it back to us, and hopefully we'll bring it back in another day.
Going to be interesting to see. Obviously, you know, that's like you said, we talk about competitive advantages. One of the advantages that a lot of Livingston Parish schools have is these sort of secondary career and technical offerings. We already discussed this one, not really going to go into a whole lot of detail. You talked about the Capitol Purple Heart Trail. Mm-hmm. This HR House Resolution 230, which was unanimous, was about City of Dim Springs being a Purple Heart Trail as well.
Correct. Again, this, you know, once we have to take this to the Purple Heart folks for Louisiana, And this just sets that foundation that we're going to establish a Purple Heart Trail in the city of Denham Springs, looking at specifically Main Street, talking to the Merchants Association, talking to the mayor of Denham. We're going to let them decide where we're going to go. But this is just basically beginning that process to have an area in Denham Springs labeled as the Purple Heart Trail.
Last but certainly not least, as we wrap it up here, I know this is a school kind of thing. In a way, and of course, school is your background. I know that some principals and assistant principals have come up to the Capitol and testified about this, but this is about the taxation and enforcement of vaping.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's kind of become an epidemic among younger kids, and of course, you have to be 18 or older to vape, and when you're on a high school campus and you see kids with vape, odds are they're not 18.
That's right.
So tell us what you're trying to build here with this resolution.
You know, a couple of years ago, we passed the Tobacco 21 bill, which required, you know, everybody to be 21 or older to purchase vaping products. You know, this was brought to me by an administrator at one of our high schools, and it was a significant discipline issue in the school, the most significant. You know, vaping in our schools goes from a high school to a middle school. We have it in our junior and our elementaries. So, you know, we passed a bill, Tobacco 21. That worked for a very short period of time. And then, you know, the intensity of the vaping products in schools increased back to what it was. And, you know, it's coming to finding out that it's just people that are buying from, you know, locations that are not enforcing the law. And also they're buying them online. You know, this year we also passed a bill that we are going to take some of the revenue generated off of the taxing of the vaping products. And we're going to give it to our state police for potential raises. So in all these discussions, and, you know, we're in committee, it come through one of the committees that I'm on, we talked about, you know, the online sales not being taxed. We talked about, you know, the folks that are, you know, have these shops that are buying these vaping products or supplying these vaping products that are not going through their distributors. And so there's an opportunity for us to do better is to capture the taxes that we're supposed to tax, to catch, but also to increase that enforcement. So we've asked, you know, Department of Revenue to work with ATC and come up with some recommendations and suggestions on how to fix both of those. Make sure the people that are supposed to be paying our taxes are paying it, and also making sure that that we're enforcing the laws that exist.
So that'll wrap it up for your. I'm about to do it to myself, and I hate it when I do this. That'll bring us to the end of your legislative wrap up for this year. Of course, we'll see how this extraordinary session goes. It starts tomorrow. But we appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us. If you'll take a second to introduce yourself, please.
Buddy Mincy, State Rep, Denham Springs, Walker area. It is always a pleasure, McHugh, to sit down with you. And I'm also running for the State Senate for District 13.
And, of course, as we discussed at the beginning of the show, we are coming up on qualifying here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of things that are going to be going on in the fall that we'll let you guys know about. But in the meantime, thank you, sir. Please remember the news is on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. We are once a week in print on Thursdays. That's $7 a month to bring that to your mailbox. We're also online, www.livingstonparishnews.com. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next time.